All right. Well, it is good to be with you again, right here. And I am, you know, I would be lying if I said I wasn't nervous about this. I actually don't get the opportunity to speak a whole lot at Beavertown, where I'm the youth pastor. I, of course, speak to the young people kind of, you know, every Sunday, but not in like a large, you know, church setting. And when you have Pastor Plank as the senior pastor, he has a tendency to kind of hog the pulpit, you know what I'm saying? So, no, it's not like that at all. We really enjoy hearing him preach. And the congregation, they want him to preach, and I want him to preach, because I like to hear him preach just about as much as anybody, I think. And so he does a great job, and then, of course, we have an associate pastor there as well. And so it's not been a whole, I haven't had a whole lot of opportunities to really, really preach. And so to come in and do, you know, a long week revival like this, this is actually, I think, the first time we've really done it like this with our family. And so we're a little nervous about it. And it kind of reminds me a little bit about a story that I heard a long time ago. My dad actually used to tell this. And so if you've heard it, that's where it probably came from. But I'm not even sure if it's true or not, but but the application certainly is good. So there was a camp meeting that took place, and there was about, I think it was a 10-day camp meeting, you know, like they used to have all the time, and it was a good one. And there was a couple of evangelists that were preaching that particular camp meeting, and one of the evangelists fell sick. And they decided, they kind of got together, the leaders of the camp got together, and they decided, you know, hey, there's this young preacher out here. You know, he's just fresh out of Bible college, and, you know, we'll just get him to come, and he'll fill in for this guy that's sick. And so they talked to the other evangelist, and they convinced the other evangelist to actually be the guy to go to him and talk to him about it and convince him to make it happen. And so he consented, and he went and talked to this young fella, and the young fella said, you know what? He said, I don't even have my Bible. He said, I just came to camp meeting just for the day. And he said, well, you got to preach tonight. They need you tonight. And he said, what in the world am I going to do? I don't have my Bible. I don't have sermon notes. I don't have anything. And the guy, the seasoned evangelist, he just kind of put his arm around him, and he said, well, hey, he said, just pray and mind God, brother. Just pray and mind God. And so, you know, the young guys think, well, that's great advice, of course, but, you know, that really isn't going to help a whole lot here. So he thought, well, if I'm going to pray, probably better go where I can get alone with God. And so they happened to have a little chapel that was there on the campground, and he went into the prayer chapel, and as he was praying, he kind of, you know, opened his eyes a little bit and kind of, you know, watched and prayed. And as he was praying and stuff, he just happened to look down, and at the end of the altar lay a Bible. And he thought, well, thank the Lord, God's provided me a Bible. And so he went down there and he started, you know, leafing through it to try to get a sense of what God might want for that service that night. And lo and behold, there was a sermon in that Bible. And it was a good one too. And so that night he preached that sermon. And I tell you what, God's presence came in a powerful way. And the altar was lined. And people were just talking about how marvelous this new young pastor, what the preacher was. And, you know, this was the best message they'd heard all camp meeting long. And all was well. And you guys are figuring it out, until the evangelist, you know, the one that wasn't sick, that had talked to him originally about preaching that night, he came to him and he said, what have you done? He said, that's my Bible. And he said, and that was my sermon that I was going to preach tomorrow night and close out the camp meeting. What am I supposed to do? And he put his arm around him and he said, just pray and mind God, brother. Just pray and mind God. And you know, that's really what we want to do tonight. We've prayed about this revival meeting, and we're trusting God to just meet with us in a special way in this week. And we just want to endeavor to mind God. Whatever He would ask us to do, we just made up our minds, just like the kids sang just a few moments ago. The answer's yes. The answer's yes. Well, if you have your Bibles this evening, turn with me to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And this is actually a pretty familiar passage. I know most of you are acquainted with this story. But I'd like for us to take a look at it here tonight. And while you're turning there, I actually want to start off with a little brain teaser. And if you've heard this before, don't ruin it for everybody else. I know some don't just like blurt out the answer. Okay, I'll give you an opportunity to kind of share what you think it is in a little bit. And I actually have a prize here, my favorite M&Ms, peanut butter M&Ms. All right, so I'll give these to you after the service if the first person that stands and gets this correct. All right, okay, all right. Now, once you have it figured out, in a few minutes, I'm going to give you the opportunity to stand, all right? And you can tell me the answer to this brain teaser. And some of you I know have heard it before, and that's okay. You can participate if you've heard it before, but just don't blurt out the answer. Okay, so here we go. You ready? All right, here we go. You're driving a bus. Go east 12 miles and turn south. Go 2 miles and take on 9 passengers. Then turn west. Go 3 miles. Let off 4 passengers. How old is the bus driver? All right, now while you're thinking about that, all right, stand with me tonight and let's read God's Word, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading right there at verse 1 and then read through verse 10. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli, and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went, and he lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Let's ask God's blessing on the reading of his word tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great congregation that's gathered here on the first night of revival. And we're just asking, oh God, that you would shut us in with your presence, that you would just be close to us, that you would be real to us, that you would speak to us. And help us, Lord, to respond with a big yes to you. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. All right, now getting back to this brain teaser. All right, is there anybody here who knows the answer that'll stand up and say, I know the answer? Okay, right here. Okay, is that how old you are? Okay, he's 23. All right, that's the correct answer. Okay, because this is how this works. You know, I shared this brain teaser with you, and this is the way that it happens a lot of times. We latch, when we're hearing a brain teaser or something, we latch onto certain information, and there was a lot of information, and I was going pretty quick. But we were talking about directions, we were talking about passengers, we were talking about the distance that you had to go. So there was a lot of numbers, and a lot of times the tendency is to latch onto that kind of information and think that that's what's the most important. However, it wasn't the most important thing. The most important thing was the very first thing that I said, you are the bus driver. So it's actually subjective. So however old you are, that's how old the bus driver is. You are the bus driver. So you got it right. So you'll get this bag of M&Ms afterwards. All right. That's great. A lot of times that's kind of how things work. We kind of sometimes have problems with listening in real life. You know, we latch on to information and maybe we miss the things that are most important. Your mom might ask you to do something, and you're not paying attention, and later on you get in trouble for not doing what you were supposed to do. That happens sometimes. Guys, sometimes your wife may be telling you about her day, but you're too busy checking on the news. Ladies, your kids keep bugging you for something to drink, but you're occupied checking out the latest gossip on Facebook. Grandparents, you may have a conversation on the phone with your grandkids and they ask you to do something for them and then you hang up and for the life of you can't remember what it was that they asked. Actually, that may have nothing to do with listening at all. Okay. However, okay, young people, you may get your homework back. You may get your homework back, and there's a big F on it because. And then you talk to your teacher about it, and you're like, "What? You know, why did I get an F? I mean, it looks good to me, but you didn't follow the directions." I know Chastity last year in kindergarten, there was a couple times when this happened to her. It looked good, but she didn't follow the directions, and so therefore she got a few wrong. So that happens. Directions sometimes are missed, especially in classroom settings, because maybe you were talking to that person, or maybe you were daydreaming, or you were looking at your crush and you weren't listening to the teacher, those kinds of things. They happen. They happen all the time. Listening, you know, it is so important. Listening is so important. It's crucial, actually, in making relationships work. We all have built within us this need and this desire to be listened to. Being listened to communicates things like worth, value, love, and respect. And how would you feel if you just poured your heart out to a parent or your friend, and then later you find out they're not even paying attention, they're not even listening? Now, that makes you feel hurt, makes you upset, because it's like they don't even care about you. And listening is so important, and yet, you know, we live in a day and an age where there are so many distractions that makes listening difficult. It makes it hard. And when we think about our relationship with God, I think that often the key component of listening to God is often overlooked. So many people, they talk about prayer and reading the Bible, and they talk about serving, and those are great and wonderful things, and those are things that we definitely should focus on. But you don't hear a lot of people talk about listening to God. Again, listening is so important in a relationship. I really feel like that includes our relationship with Jesus. And in some ways, I might actually argue that it's more important in our relationship with God, because I really think that the God of the universe, the creator of all things, is someone that we need to pay attention to when he speaks. And how often do we read our Bibles, and maybe we're reading them out loud, and it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other? How often do we pray by just like throwing up all these requests to God, but we never really stop and take time to listen to what God wants to say to us? I'd like for us just to look at our text tonight, at the scripture that we read, and there's just a few insights that I would like for us to look at, and how important it is for us to listen to God as he speaks to us. First of all, I'd like for us to notice again what verse 1 says. It says, "And the word of the Lord was precious," or another translation might be, "It was rare." It was rare in those days. There was no open vision, or it could also be explained that God rarely revealed himself to people. Now, some of you might think, well, you know what? That's a lot like today. That's a lot like today. And I think I would sort of agree with you. But it's important to understand, I think, what this verse is getting at. You know, some people might argue that this verse says that God wasn't speaking to many people in that day, back when Samuel was a little boy. And really, God only knows whether he was speaking or not. But the root of the problem, I feel, is that people had given up listening a long time ago. In the chapters that precede what we read tonight, we find the story of Eli, the priest. It talks about Eli's sons and how wicked they were. It said they had no respect for the Lord. They did whatever they wanted, and they didn't care about the work that God had called them to do. They just ignored him, and they ignored what God was trying to say, and Eli just let it happen. And I really feel like that is why messages from the Lord were rare and visions were uncommon. It wasn't that God was speaking. It was the fact that no one was listening. No one was listening to relay the messages of God to the rest of the people. And therefore, it seemed that God was silent for year after year after year. But it wasn't the case. It was that no one really was listening. And I think the same is true for our times today. I think God is speaking all the time to people. For the most part, we just don't listen. And I want to spend the rest of our time tonight just looking at four short reasons why I feel like we're missing God's message today and we're not listening. You know, first of all, I think a lot of the times it's just because of how busy and how hectic our lives are. You know, our schedules are just loaded up with thing after thing that we don't ever take time to just stop and listen to God. In Psalm 46:10, the writer says to be still and know that I am God. How often are we still and take the time just to listen to God? Notice it wasn't that God doesn't necessarily speak to Samuel in the busyness of the day. It was actually when Samuel was still. It was as at the end of the day when he's laying down and he's getting ready to go to sleep and he's still. That's when God spoke. And for us today, you know, we don't even get that. A lot of you fall asleep doing your homework or reading. When you do fall asleep, a lot of us, you know, have earbuds in. We're listening to music. And, you know, there's hardly any time that we're still and we're quiet. We're overloading ourselves with so much that we're drowning out God's voice. And the second thing that I'd like to notice is kind of like what I described about the brain teaser at the beginning of the message tonight. I think we are all too often focused on the wrong things. We're focused on the wrong things. Back when the Soviet leader, Nikita Khrushchev, was in power, he used to tell of a time where there was just this wave of petty theft that was sweeping across the Soviet Union. And to curtail this, the authorities would put up guards around the factories to kind of help cut down on all this thievery that was taking place. And at one of the timber works in Leningrad, the guard knew the workers in the factory fairly well. And the first evening, there came this man, Pyotr Petrovich. And he had this wheelbarrow, and in the wheelbarrow was a great bulky sack with suspicious-looking object inside. And so the guard said, "All right, Petrovich." He said, "What do you got there?" "Oh," he said, "it's just sawdust and shavings, just sawdust and shavings." And the guard said, "Come on, I wasn't just born yesterday." He said, "Tip it out." And so the man tipped it out, and all it was sawdust and shavings. So he was allowed to put it back in, and he was allowed to go home. And when the same thing happened every night of that week, the guard finally became very frustrated. He knew something was going on. And he said, "All right, Petrovich, I know you. You're smuggling something out of here. If you tell me what it is," he said, "I'll let you go tonight." "Wheelbarrows," he said, "wheelbarrows." This whole time, all week long, he had been smuggling wheelbarrows and stealing one a night. And here the guard was focused in on the shavings and the sawdust and stuff that he saw in the wheelbarrow. And oftentimes, we can be just like that guard. We're looking for God to speak, but we're looking for God to speak perhaps in all the wrong areas and all the wrong places. And when we think of God speaking to us, we tend to think of everything in just like grand terms, like, you know, flashes of lightning and booms of thunder and clouds and smoke that would, you know, accompany God's message to us. Maybe there would be angels that would sing and trumpets blast and all these other things. And it'd make us sit up and we'd pay attention and say, "Okay, God, you got my attention." But notice that's not how God speaks to Samuel. Instead, he calls out to him quietly in the night. Now, sometimes God does do dramatic things to get our attention. We know that. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush, and he spoke to that guy named Balaam through a donkey. Spoke to Mary through angels. But more often than not, those are the exceptions. More often than not, God speaks to us in just simple, quiet ways. You know, there's a great story in the book of 1 Kings about a prophet named Elijah. He's on a mountain, and he's waiting for God to come. and so they could have this conversation and speak. And as he's on the mountain, you guys are familiar with this, there's this mighty windstorm that hits the mountain, but God's not in it. And after that, there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. And after that, there was fire, but God wasn't in the fire. And finally, it was in a gentle whisper. And at that, Elijah came out of the cave, and it was in the gentle whisper that God spoke to Elijah. And God, I think, most often, he just speaks to us in very simple ways. Through his word, the Bible. Through godly people that are in our lives, through nature, through our conscience, and even a soft voice. But yet, we're all too often looking for the big, huge message, when in fact, God may already be speaking to you, you just aren't listening. Third, I think we miss God's message so often because we've forgotten what God sounds like. In the midst of all the voices and messages that we take in every day, it's hard to pick out God's voice amidst all those voices. It's especially hard when we're not spending any time with Him. I find it interesting that Samuel didn't recognize God's voice, but he didn't recognize it because he'd never heard it before. He'd never heard it before. It took God calling him three times for him to finally realize, thanks to Eli, what was really going on. I'd like for us to think about it a little bit like this. The best way to learn a foreign language like Spanish is repetition and spending time listening to it and repeating what you hear over and over and over again. That's one of the best ways to do it. And of course, immerse yourself in it is probably the best way to do it. But if you do that for a time, and then you take a break for a while, it's tough. It becomes very difficult for you to remember anything. How many of you took Spanish in high school? Is there anybody here that took Spanish? Okay, how many of you could remember quite a bit of that today? There's a few, but very few, all right? It's because if you don't use it, you lose it. And I think it works the same way with us listening to God. If we're not spending the time reading His words and spending time with Him, His words and His language will become foreign to us, and we'll miss out big time because we don't understand anymore. The fourth and final thing that I think prevents us from listening to God, and honestly, really, it's the most troubling one. Sometimes we don't listen to God because we simply don't want to. God calls out to Samuel, and he doesn't just start speaking. He finally delivers the message once Samuel responded. And he said, "Speak, your servant is listening." And Samuel had the right attitude. This is the attitude that we have to have. As soon as he realized that God was speaking to him, he replies basically saying, "God, I'm all ears." And Samuel could have chosen out of fear, out of not wanting to know what God had to say, or many other reasons to just ignore God. But instead, he chose to respond and purposefully listen to what God had to say. Several years ago, back when the telegraph was the fastest means of communication, there was a young man who went into this office to apply for a job as a Morse code operator. He answered an ad that he had seen in the newspaper, and he went into this office, and it was busy. When he arrived, there was this large office, but it was just, a lot was happening. It was filled with all kinds of people, a lot of people who were there as applicants themselves for this position. There was a lot of clatter going on, including the sound of this telegraph that was hammering out messages in the background. A sign on the receptionist counter instructed the job applicants basically just to fill out a form and then wait until they were summoned to go into the inner office for their interview. After a little bit, the young man, he filled out his form, and he's just hanging out there with the other applicants in the waiting area. And all of a sudden, he just stood up, and he walked across the room to the door of the inner office, and he walked right in. And naturally, the other guys that were there, they kind of, you know, start looking around and looking at him and looking at each other and like, what? Did we miss something? And they said, you know, well, we didn't hear anything. Nobody came out and summoned him. And that's what we were told would happen. And they assumed the young man, you know, he'd made a big mistake and soon he'd be ushered out and be disqualified. However, within a few minutes, the employer escorted the young man out of the office and he said to the other applicants, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming, but the job has just been filled by this young man. And the other applicants, they begin to grumble to each other. And one spoke up and said, wait a minute, we don't understand. He was the last guy to come in here. And somehow he was able to get ahead of all of us and you hired him. This isn't fair. Well, he said, I'm sorry, but the whole time that you were sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. It was ticking out this message. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. He said, none of you heard it. None of you were paying attention to what was happening. This young man did, so the job's his. The reason that this young man got the job was because he was listening for the right voice. Somehow, he had eliminated all distractions, all outside influences. While others were preoccupied with their conversations, although maybe it was worthwhile, the discussions they were having amongst themselves, they somehow missed the main message. While others were talking amongst themselves, there was this small, unobtrusive voice of the telegraph machine that went unnoticed. And even though it was perhaps the quietest sound, or at least to those guys, it was the most important sound in the room. And the one who heard it was the one who eliminated all outside influences and distractions. And the ones who will hear the still small voice of Jesus in this generation are the ones who are going to have to eliminate distractions. The ones who block out inside influences and concentrate on what God is saying amidst the clutter and hubbub of everyday life. Yes. Tonight I wonder, are your ears tuned to His voice? God is still speaking today. Whether you believe it or not, the challenge to all of us here is to start listening. And it's so important to make sure that we're taking time to be still and take the time to separate ourselves from the world and everything that's going on around us. This will help us to hear God's still small voice and acquaint our ears with what God really sounds like. And top of all that, we have to respond as God calls our name. He's not going to force Himself onto us, but instead He just waits, patiently ready to the point where we're purposefully listening to Him. So tonight the question is, are you listening? You know, over the next few days, I'm convinced that God is going to be speaking to you in this revival. Some perhaps here tonight have spiritual needs, some things that you know God's been dealing with you about for a while. And He's going to be faithful to speak to you about those needs and speak to you about getting things right with Him. There's some people that God's been dealing with you perhaps about being sanctified holy. Maybe you've committed your life to Him and you said, God, I want to serve You, but you find this tendency to go back and fall into sin and you want to serve God and you do your best, but you know, at youth camp this summer, maybe you gave your life to God, but you know, a couple weeks later, you found yourself right back into the same old mess. God wants to forgive you, and then God wants to sanctify you so that you can live a victorious Christian life. And then perhaps there would be some, even in this youth revival, that God would want to call to His ministry. Maybe a specific ministry call. I want you to be a preacher. I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a Christian educator. I want you to do this in My kingdom. I want you to be a layman. I believe that God still calls laymen and gives specific calls. I want you to be a Sunday school superintendent. I want you to be a Sunday school teacher. And perhaps God has maybe been dealing with you about those things in your life, about what you are to do with your future, and maybe you've just been pushing it off. But I have a feeling that God wants to speak to you about that again this week. In fact, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if God's speaking to you right now. I kind of just have this feeling that if there's someone here that has a spiritual need that God has been working on you, He's been dealing with you, there's been many people praying for this revival service here tonight. And I have a feeling that God has been speaking even throughout this service tonight. And so I wonder, as we would close here tonight, if maybe the piano player would come and just play something softly. And I want to give us an opportunity here. If God has been speaking to you about anything in your life, this is a great opportunity for you to move towards God and say, God, here am I. Speak, Lord, your servant heareth. And to just say yes to Him, to mind Him. So I'd like for us to stand together tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. And if God is speaking to you, if He's been speaking to you over the last few days, or if He's been speaking to you in this service tonight, and you know you need to respond to His voice, I'd encourage you just to come up here real quick and just pray about it right here at the altar tonight. We'd be happy to just close out this service with a word of prayer and help you to say yes. Yes, God, whatever you want for me. Is there anybody like that this evening? Anybody who God's been speaking to you and you just want to answer that tonight? Just like Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. Amen. Is there anybody like that? If He's speaking to you, now's the time to respond to Him. One of the saddest things that I remember talking to a young man who attended our church, and he told me as a junior in high school, he told God to quit speaking to him. And he said God did. For a solid year, he said he didn't hear a single word from God. And he said it scared him half to death. And finally, God in His faithfulness came back again and spoke to him, and he responded and he gave his heart to the Lord. But I'm just telling you, it's a dangerous thing. We got to listen to God and we got to respond to Him. We got to say yes to Him. Is there anybody like that? God's been speaking to you, and you want to say yes to Him tonight. As we close the service tonight and everybody has their heads bowed and eyes closed, I just wonder if there would be those that would say, you know what, I've made up my mind. If God speaks to me in this youth revival, I'm going to mind Him. I'm going to say yes. And you just put your hand up. Is there anybody like that that say, I've made up my mind. I'm going to say yes to God. If He speaks to me about anything in this revival, I've made up my mind. I'm going to obey Him. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's good. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, so much for Your presence that we've sensed here this evening. We're thankful, Lord, that You are interested in each and every single one of us. And Lord, that You still speak. Lord, we know that oftentimes we just get so busy with life and it just seems like things just don't slow down, that we don't take the time that we need to listen to what You have to say to us. And so we ask, Lord, that You would just help us, Lord, this week, as we desire, Lord, to just pull up to the table and receive whatever You would have for us in this revival meeting, we ask, Lord, that You would help us to purposefully take time to listen to You throughout even the day prior to coming to the services, Lord, that we would just have our minds made up that we're going to say yes to You. And Lord, we ask that You would be faithful to speak to us, to help us to know exactly what You want, Lord, out of our lives. we know you want us to make it to heaven more than we want to make it ourselves. And so, Lord, we're counting on you. And we know, Lord, that you're going to be faithful to speak to hearts. Now we ask, Lord, your blessing upon each one as they would leave this place. Keep them safe, Lord. And as they would travel home, bring us all back safely tomorrow, Lord, if it be your will. And we'll give you praise, Lord, for what's done and accomplished. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Shake hands one with another.